You take your Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. Luke, chapter 2. And appreciate what the Lord's done this morning already. It's been good to be in God's house, and I thank the Lord for it. And I've got message on my heart this morning. Last few messages, we've kind of stepped away from the Gospel of John, and we will, as I said, Wednesday night, we will get back to it. But I don't know, it just seems the Lord's kind of put some thoughts on my heart in these days, and just kind of had things on my mind, and so I want to mind Him, and I never, I've talked about this, how, you know, whenever you go verse by verse through a book or through a series, it kind of binds you to the text, but I don't ever want to be so bound to the text that you miss the leading of the Holy Spirit, amen, and so we want to always, I believe, doing things in church decently and in order, but not so in order that we order the Holy Spirit out of it. Amen. And we want to allow Him to lead and guide. And so I believe this is what the Lord has for us this morning. And I believe the Lord will use it and help us with it. And so look with me in Luke chapter number 2. And let's see. I want to begin reading. Am I in the right verse here? I mean, I'm not in the right chapter here. I'm sorry. Hold on just 1 second. Chapter 4. I'm sorry. Luke chapter 4. In the wrong verse there, wrong chapter there. Luke chapter 4, and when you find your place, let's stand. I finally found my place, and I'm standing, so we may as well all stand. Amen. Luke chapter 4, and look with me in verse number 1. Very familiar passage here, and it says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led of the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, and all shall be thine. Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season." And I'm going to end off reading there, and we're just read the account of the Lord's temptation in the wilderness. 40 days he was in the wilderness, he had fasted, and the devil comes unto him, begins to tempt him. I want to look at this temptation and give you some thoughts really dealing with temptation this morning. And so you pray for us, Lord, to help us this morning. Father, come before your throne of grace. I thank you for letting us be in the house of God. Lord, I thank you for the blessing it is to have the Lord's day. teach this morning. Now, Father, I pray that you'd help us to receive from heaven what you'd have us to receive. Lord, it's been good already. The good singing that's been done, or the fellowship, the giving, Lord, the Sunday school hour, it's all just been good. It's been a blessing. And Father, I pray now that you'd help us as we have come to this time of preaching. Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, please give me that special touch that makes preaching this morning speak to our hearts and help us, Father, to be what you want us to be, to say what you'd have us to say. And Lord, I pray that you would help anyone here this morning that is struggling with temptation. Lord, they're in the battle of their life. And Father, I pray that this message would take root in their heart. Lord, you'd help us all, Lord, to be more like you. Lord, we want to say we love you and thank you for what you've done, what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Passage, as we see, the Lord is dealing with temptation here. He's being tempted of the devil. He's been led up by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, and as he's there, as he's fasted for 40 days, the devil himself has come to him to tempt him. And this has kind of been on my mind. We just got through the Gospel of, or going through the Gospel of John, and we've kind of looked into this some, where the Lord, you know, he comes, he's been baptized by John, and immediately after baptizing John, he goes up in the wilderness, he's led to be tempted. And of course, none of this is covered in the Gospel of John, right? And but it is covered in these other Gospels. And so there's a lot to be said here, and the Lord just kind of put this on my mind, on my heart, and kind of give us some thoughts here, and I want to give them to you and pray to be a blessing, be a help to us, because what really is taking place here regarding temptation is that Satan, in tempting the Lord, is attempting to advance evil priority. And he'll do the same thing in all of our lives. The world, the flesh, and the devil is all trying to advance evil priorities in our life. So there's a whole lot more here in these verses than simply making stones to bread. And that's really what I want to zero in on, where he had tempted the Lord to turn the stones into bread after he had hungered, right? And there's a whole lot more here really to it than just that. Because Jesus could easily have turned stones into bread. We know that that wasn't even a problem for the Lord. He could have done that easily. And the temptation, though, was to do it outside of the will of the Father. And, you know, there's many things that we can easily do that can be easily done. We may not can turn stones into bread. There's many things that all of us can do maybe very easily, and it may not be necessarily a sin in and of itself, but it's a sin when it's done outside the will of God. And there's many examples I could give, but for sake of time, we'll move on because I got a lot I want to say this morning. But it's not about things being able to be easily done. It's about whether or not it's according to the will of God. And so there's a whole lot more here in this temptation than whenever we look at the devil, you know, tempting him to turn stones into bread in verse number 3. There's a whole lot more to it than just that. You know, by the way, that is one temptation the devil will tempt us with. Turning a stone into bread was no big thing for the Lord. And many times the temptation will be from the perspective of it's no big deal. It's not that big of a deal. And there's many things in this society now that at one time were a very big deal, but now they're not that big of a deal anymore. Does it make it any less wrong because it's not that big of a deal in this society? It's not as big a deal as in 2023 as it was in, you know, 1960. Does that make it less of a sin? Well, no, not at all. Turning bread, stone into bread doesn't seem like that big of a deal, but it's always a big deal whenever God isn't in it, and it's not what God wants us to do. And you know, temptation is always exactly what the devil is trying to do in the Lord's life here this morning. It's always the same way. Temptation is always to make it more important to do something other than right. You can do a lot of things, or you can do right. And there's a lot of things you can't do if you're going to do right. And at the end of the day, ultimately, temptation is whenever it makes it, we make it more important to do something else other than right. Other than the right thing. So ultimately, doing right just isn't as important in many people's lives. They know what right and wrong is. They know what they should do, what they ought to do. They know what they ought not to do. But at the end of the day, the reality of it is that doing the right thing just isn't the important thing to them. Now, they may tell you it's important. Oh, yeah, doing right is important. I want to do it. But it's not important enough to get them to do the right thing rather than the wrong thing. And that's exactly what the devil is tempting the Lord with here, specifically in turning this bread, stones into bread, is to get him, attempting him to prioritize doing something else more than doing the right thing. I want to notice about, I don't know, maybe about 10 things here that I want you to notice about this one specific thing. In verse 3 it says, "And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that a man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Those are our text verses this morning. We read the whole passage, but we're zeroing in on those verses because there's a whole lot more there than just turning bread stones into bread. And I want to give you a few thoughts on that. First of all, regarding pushing the priority to do something other than right. This is the way the devil and your flesh will always tempt you. And I want you to notice, first of all, he's pushing the priority of our will over God's will. That's what he's tempting the Lord with right here. And by the way, all of this happened that we might not have a high priest that is not touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Listen, you've never been in a circumstance or situation or faced a temptation that the Lord doesn't know all about it. Amen. He knows all about it. And he knows what it is to be tempted to enforce his will over the Father's will. No doubt, here he is, and he's been in the wilderness for 40 days without anything to eat. And he could so easily turn these stones into bread. The problem is, it's not God's will to make bread out of stones here. That's the problem. Christ came to do the will of God and not his own will. And that's what he said in John chapter 6. Jesus said, "I came from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." Would there be anything wrong with turning stones into bread? Not if it's outside the will of God. But when it's outside God's will, it'd be a sin. And Jesus did no sin. Amen? And so he's tempting, though. The devil is attempting to tempt the Lord to enforce his will over God's will. You know, a lot of people are lost this morning. They're lost. They'll never get saved because they're not willing to let their will take a back seat to God's will. I want to do my life the way I want to do it. I want to map out my life the way I want to map it out. I want to do my thing. I mean, they know right and wrong. They know what they ought to be doing and not be doing. But at the end of the day, their will is the problem. And listen, part of repentance is repenting of and turning over and submitting and surrendering your will to the Lord. That, Lord, you do with me what you want to do. Amen? But even as Christians, once we are saved, our flesh will always want to rise up and be tempted to prioritize my will over the Father's will. Amen. Listen, a lot of people's ambition, and listen, God knows if they're saved or not. Only you know if you're saved or lost. Well, I don't know. Amen. And by the way, as I preach, the Holy Spirit's going to tell you too. Amen. And so, but a lot of people, I think probably saved and lost a lot of times, listen, their ambition drives them, listen, to pursue things that takes them away from the things of God, and they're more, and it's more of prioritizing their will of what they know God wants them to do. And it's the ambition of their will. I just want this more than I want to do right. And so prioritizing God's will over our will. You know, we're just like the devil when we put our will ahead of God's will. Nothing makes us more like him. Because that was his original sin. He wanted it his way. He wanted to be on the throne. It was his will that drove him to rebel and do the things that he did. And that's the temptation right here. Oh, he's just telling, just turn the stone into bread. Oh, it's a lot more to turn stones into bread. This is the difference in the will of the Father and the will of the flesh. To prioritize our will over God's will. But then there's another area of temptation over here. Just stones to bread, but it's also the temptation to prioritize the body over the soul. To temptation to put the physical need of bread over the spiritual need of obeying God. Doing what God says to do. You know, Paul talked about in Philippians 3, he talked about marking that certain crowd, you know. And whenever he was elaborating on that crowd that you got to mark and watch out for, he said of that crowd, he said, many walk of whom I have told you often. In other words, you watch this crowd. I told you about them often. You better watch them. He says, and now I tell you again, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. They're the enemies of the cross of Christ. And he says, whose end is destruction. That's a rough looking crowd, ain't it? I mean, that sounds like a really wicked bunch of people. Well, you know how he describes them people? He said, whose God is their belly. Their God is their belly. You know, from the human perspective, that doesn't sound as wicked. Like, it doesn't look like it should fit with the people he's just describing, right? But the fact is, that tells you how wicked it is for our God to be our belly. He said, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. So that whole deal with their God is their belly, that is, they are given over to the lust of their physical needs. Amen. More so than they are given over to doing that which is right. Doing what God says to do. And we will all be tempted with that. He tempted the Lord right here to prioritize His body over His soul. Do what His body says to do. You know, that's just like the social gospel. It's meeting all the physical needs of humanity, but it's not purchasing anybody 1 second in eternity. Right? It's prioritizing the body over the soul. Puts more emphasis on feeding the stomach than saving the soul. Jesus didn't come to make us happy, you understand. Jesus came to make us holy. Holy before God. In Matthew 1, it says, and she shall bring forth a son, shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Not their poverty. Not their hunger. Not all their problems. Amen? Yeah. From their sin. Sin is our problem. Listen, your flesh is so wicked and so depraved that it will desire that which it, the things of this world and the things that would feed it more than it desires to do that which is right. That which is right. Amen. That which is pleasing to the body. And so, oh, it's just turning stones to bread. Oh, no, it's more than that. He's tempting him to prioritize his body over his soul, and he'll tempt you the same way. He's tempting him to prioritize reputation over character.
Amen. You're right.
I think this is a big one for 2023.
Yeah.
Because we live in a society now with the advent of the internet and social media, all these things. Our society as a whole, humanity as a whole, is getting more and more shallow as we go.
Yeah.
Our reach is getting wider, but our depth is getting shallower.
Right.
I mean, we you know, people are they're influencers now. They did a poll here not long ago. It's been probably a few years ago. They polled, I can't remember how many thousand high school students, you know. And the you want to know what the number one desired career choice of high school students, all the high school students they polled, and it was like thousands of them. What do you want to do? You know, what career do you want to have? You want to know what the number one desired career was? An influencer. Be an online influencer. Make, you know, Social media influence. That was the number one desire career. Listen, over in China, they want to be astronauts, you know. They want to be scientists and physicists and all kinds of stuff like that. Here in America, we want to be influencers, you know. And that's about where we are in society, where our reach is getting further and further and further. The considered influence. It's like as if we have more influence, but we have really less influence.
Right.
We're reaching everybody and really reaching nobody. Right. We're being seen by everybody and really being seen by nobody.
Amen.
We're connected to everybody, but really connected to nobody.
Right.
We got 10,000 friends online and really no friends in real life.
Amen.
Because, by the way, online life is not real life.
No, you're right.
It's not real life. And it's what it is. It is the life that we want the world and want people around us to perceive us to have.
Amen.
It is the reputation that humanity is interested in. It's your reputation that people are interested in. That's why whenever people live wicked as the devil, but when the preacher comes around, they straighten up. Right? I just talked to the man about in the jail about this, not long ago. I may have told you this. I've kind of gone to a place where I really hate the question of like, what do you do for a living? You know, and people ask that, you know, what do you do? And you find it, they find out you're a preacher, and oh, they start talking real spiritual. You know, they get real spiritual. You know, here a while back we were picking up this has been a few years ago now, I guess we were picking up an antique bathtub that a lady had bought. And she's like out of town, and she goes to a church that we're connected to, so we know her pastor and all. So she reached out and asked if she bought a tub, she found it online, bought this antique clawfoot bathtub. She found it here in town, in Amory, of all places, asked if we could go buy it and pick it up for her, and she would then get it from us, you know, whatever, whole big deal. So we go get this bathtub, and we're there, and a whole family and a son, you know, they're there. They're helping us get this bathtub loaded up. And we're there at their shop. They got all kinds of stuff in their shop and bathtubs sitting there. You know, of course, you know, you get to talking. You know how you do. And you know, they've been showing us all the stuff in their shop and all their antiques and everything. You know, and they're friendly people and all, you know, whatever we're talking. Then, you know, what do? I'm a pastor. I pastor Unity Baptist Church right across the street from Walmart down there. Oh, that's when it all changes, you know. That's when it all changes. And I didn't notice this, but Hannah did. Apparently, on one of them toolboxes in that shop, you know, that lid comes up, and on that lid they had hung up a picture of a woman who was apparently not very, she wasn't dressed for church, let me say that. She wasn't dressed for our church. She might be dressed for most churches now, but she wasn't dressed for our church, right? And apparently she wasn't really dressed as well as she should have been. I never noticed any of it, but Hannah said they found out I was a preacher, you know, and that son, you know, he kind of casually like walked over there and walked over that, and he picked up a shop rag and just kind of casually walked by and draped that shop rag over that picture, you know, and just kind of kept walking. Oh, it was fine until he knew the preacher was around, right? Right. It don't matter. If I'd have been anybody else, it wouldn't have mattered. You know. You want to know why? Because everybody, he's concerned about his reputation. He's not concerned with who he really is. See, he's concerned with what the preacher sees, but not what God sees. And that's what we forget. We're so worried about what the preacher thinks about me. And that's why people get so offended. You know, if the preacher ever calls them on the carpet about something or tries to really help them with something. Listen, I'm concerned about this in your life, and I want to help you with this. Or you know, he preaches something that kind of steps on our toes. He'll get mad at the preacher because they're concerned about their reputation. They think, oh, he knows something about me. He's been watching me, you know. And he's thinking something about me. And forget that God knew long before the preacher ever did.
Amen. You're right.
Forget that God knows exactly who you are.
Amen.
Listen, you need to jump this idea of worrying about what I think. What I think matters about this much.
That's right.
Nothing. It don't matter.
Right.
What I think about you don't matter. What matters is what God knows about you.
Amen.
God knows it all. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And one of these days, maybe not in this life, but one of these days we'll stand before God and it'll all come out then. Amen. It'll all be known that God knew it all the whole time. And it didn't matter what the preacher thought. It didn't matter what the church people thought. I may have put on a good front and everybody thought I was okay. But God knew all this the whole time. And what the devil is tempting him here with is to prioritize his reputation over his character, because his reputation would have grown had he have turned stones into bread. Oh, he can turn stones into bread? That's impressive. We just got done talking about Nicodemus and the Lord there in John 3, right? Listen, Nicodemus was a real high-profile guy. And if it had been known that Jesus had led him in some kind of prayer and made some kind of convert out of him, well, that would have been a big deal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But see, Jesus knew his heart.
Sure he did.
And Jesus wasn't concerned about his reputation. And he wasn't concerned about building a big ministry. And he wasn't concerned about what the Pharisees thought. And he wasn't concerned about you know, having a big following. No, he wasn't worried about that. He knew what Nicodemus' heart was. So he never said, Nicodemus, pray after me. Or Nicodemus, repeat this prayer. Nicodemus, do you believe in going to heaven? Do you want to go to heaven? Oh, yeah. Do you not want to go to hell? Oh, no. Well, listen, just put your faith in Jesus. Just say that you have faith in Jesus and you're saved. Oh, no, he didn't do that. He knew where Nicodemus' heart was, and so he never twisted his arm, never led him anywhere, because he's concerned with the heart and who we really are rather than the way things look on the outside.
Amen.
And the temptation here is to promote your reputation. Oh, if you turn these stones into bread, boy, people are going to take notice. They're going to see that miracle. They're going to be very impressed, you know. And the problem with us, the problem with your flesh and my flesh, is that we, our flesh, wants everyone to be so impressed with what they see in us.
Amen.
And unconcerned with what God knows is in us.
Amen.
God knows it all. God knows it all. The flesh is so geared to be impressed by big things. That's why everybody's building bigger houses. That's why everybody's wanting to drive nicer cars. Listen, it's not about getting a car that gets you from point A to point B better than the last one. It's about being seen. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with having nice cars. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having nice houses and all those things. But listen, I'm just saying the general drive of the flesh is to be seen. That's why we wear name brand clothes. And that's why we're so concerned with you know, what the current fads are and what the current trends are. Because everybody wants to be in with the in crowd and doing what everybody else is doing. And wants people to look at me and be impressed with me. When you ought to be concerned with what God sees in you. And that temptation will never go away.
Right.
The temptation to prioritize reputation over care. By the way, there's nothing wrong with people seeing and being impressed with what they see.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with that. As long as it doesn't cause us to damage our character and go against the will of God,
right,
that we might invest more in our reputation than in our character.
Right.
Amen. See, Jesus was more interested in character than his reputation here. In Luke 6, Jesus even said, this is just a few chapters later, he tells one crowd, he says, woe unto you when all men speak well of you. That's Luke 6, 26. Woe unto you when all men speak well of you. Listen, if you're going to stand up for anything, if you're going to do right, listen, there's going to be people that aren't going to like it. Not everybody's going to talk great about you and talk about how great you are. Amen?
Amen?
And Jesus said, matter of fact, when they do, when everybody's talking about great and nobody has a negative opinion of you, he said, woe unto you. You're not doing something right. Acts 5, verse 29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. They weren't concerned with their reputation with man. They were concerned with what God said. Proverbs 15, verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God knows it all.
Amen.
But the world, the flesh, and the devil will tempt you to prioritize your reputation over your character.
That's right.
Number four, let me give you this. Let me move on quickly. There's the temptation to prioritize privilege over responsibility. Now, Jesus has many privileges. He's the Christ. He's the Messiah. He's God. And that comes with some privileges, isn't that right? And that the privileges would include His miracle working power. He has the ability and the privilege to do so. But Jesus emphasized here His responsibility more than His privileges. Modern religion cares only of privileges, not responsibilities. As long as it's all about privilege and fun and all those things. Well, I mean, people are interested in that. But whenever you start getting into responsibility, you've got a responsibility, a duty unto God. Well, suddenly people aren't really into it anymore. Turn over to Romans chapter 6. Hold your finger here in Luke 4 and turn to Romans 6. I want to show you a verse over here. Romans 6. We went through all this when we went through Romans, but if you look with me in Romans 6, verse 1, talking about the difference in privilege and responsibility. He said, "What then, or what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" See, they were interested in privilege. We have the privilege of grace. And of course, if you remember when we went through Romans, he's dealing with all that, dealing with what real Bible grace is versus what the flesh's grace is, right? There's a fleshly grace and there's a Bible grace. And he's dealing with that. And so they're interjecting their human knowledge and they're injecting their flesh into that doctrine that says, well, if it's grace, I can just do whatever I want and there's grace for it. Grace will abound, you know. The more wicked I live, the more grace will abound. And that's good, right? Oh, that's not what God's saying at all. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Verse 2, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And so you see the difference there. Privilege and responsibility. And so the temptation will always be to prioritize privilege over responsibility. The devil in your flesh will tempt you, well, I've got the privilege, I can do this. That's what this modern Christian liberty is all about. That's what it's all about. Twisting the idea of Christian liberty and this idea of privilege to make it out like we can do whatever we want. God's okay with it. Yeah, sure. You know, that's what modern religions eat up with. And that's the temptation. And you will be tempted with that. Number 5, let me give you this. He's tempting with the idea of prioritizing circumstances over commands. Are you listening? Circumstances over commands. Jesus, humanly speaking, is in dire circumstances here. He's in the wilderness and he's not ate in 40 days. I'd imagine that'd be pretty hungry, you know. I mean, that's pretty hungry. You know, this amazing thing, and me and Hannah were just talking about this the other day. And whenever you think about all the fasting that's been done down through the years, I mean, God's people have fasted and prayed, and Jesus fasted and prayed, God's men fasted and prayed, and Esther declared a fast, and I mean, all the fasting is done. And then you fast forward 2023, and we're so spoiled to death on prosperity that people make statements like this. Man, whenever I get hungry, I gotta eat. Gotta get me something to eat. And I always think to myself every time, and I know what people are saying, but listen, this is the reality. Y'all ready?
Yeah.
I know this is hitting real close to home. It's about to get closer than this, so just, you know, hang and buckle up. But the reality is, no, you don't. You do not have to eat when you're hungry. Oh, but I'm hungry. I'm starving. My belly's growling. I got to give me something to eat. Oh, no. You don't have to get you something to eat. You could probably go weeks without something. You couldn't go that long without water. I'll grant you that. But see, we're at a place now where every time my body says I need this, we think I've got to have it. But the reality is, when your flesh says you need it, the reality is I want it, but I don't necessarily need it.
Right. Amen.
You can go a long time before you actually need to eat.
Boy, it's getting tight in here, buddy. Yeah, praise God. Because we fast and preach, or we feast and preach instead of fast and pray. Right? No, listen, there's nothing. It's not a sin to eat. We know that. You understand what I'm saying?
You're right. Amen.
This is the reality of this thing. See, this is how much we feed our flesh. This is how big and strong that strong man has gotten. The Bible talks about binding the strong man. That man, that Adamic man on the inside, has got to be bound. And by the way, let me just say this. I know there are certain people that have health conditions and things like that that kind of adjust that and plays into that. But at the end of the day, the average person, no, we don't have to. See, because if we believe that way in that area, well then, who's to say that we're not going to feel that way about every other need of the flesh? Oh, hey, man. Oh, gosh. She's so good looking. Boy, she just does me so. I just got to have her. I need her in my life. I need him. And then Disney's told a whole generation grow up, they fall in love. And when you fall in love, you need that person. You don't need them.
No.
You don't need them. You don't need anybody but the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord and the people that the Lord puts in your life. And but your flesh will tell you, I can't live without them. And that's how the devil's gotten a lot of young people hooked in with the wrong one.
Right.
And messed their life up royally. Because they prioritized the need of their flesh. They prioritized that over what God said. They prioritize that over the counsel of godly, wise people. Their flesh is telling them, I have to have that. No, you don't. No, you don't. Amen. Amen. Y'all still with me?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't mean to kill the service here. Amen. You know I'm telling it right, though. Circumstances. I mean, he's here. He's not eating 40 days. By the way, he's not the only one that's done a 40-day fast. And so, you know, it's gone on so long, but what wind up guiding his conduct? Now, he's in circumstances that says, oh, you've got to have that. But instead of doing what his flesh is telling him to do and the devil's telling him to do, instead, what guided his conduct was the will of the Father, not his current circumstances. Not what my flesh and what I'm being tempted to do in the circumstances I'm in right now, rather he was guided by what is right. What does the Father want me to do? You know, that's what Job talked about in Job 13. Now you talk about dire circumstances. Humanly speaking, if anyone had the right to be mad at God, it was Job. Humanly speaking, we know nobody's got the right to be mad at God. And yet Job responded the way most of us would not have responded. God has allowed everything to be taken from him. Everything. I mean, his finances, his family, his health, everything. He's allowed it to be taken away. And yet Job's response to it all, even whenever he's being tempted by his friends, even his wife is telling him to curse God and die. I mean, Job is in a tight spot. And yet his response to it all in Job 13 was, though he slay me, yet will I trust him, but I will maintain my own ways before him. But many times we'll be in a certain circumstance that gets us to thinking, well, if anybody else is in this spot, they'd do it this way too.
Yeah.
They would know. They would understand. Well, the reality is God does understand, and it's never right to do wrong.
Amen.
Regardless of circumstances.
Amen.
You can always do right.
Yes, sir.
Always. It's never, regardless of the circumstances, it's never an impossibility to do the right thing. Never. Now, it might get you... It got the Lord on the cross, you know, and it got John the Baptist, you know, shortened a height, you know, a head height, right? It got Peter crucified upside down. It got John boiled in oil and on the Isle of Patmos. I mean, it'll get you a lot of things, but you can still do right if it's your priority to do right. It's not our priority, though, a lot of times. Let me move on. I got to hurry. Number 6. The temptation of prioritizing pleasure over purity. Bread would have no doubt given the Lord much physical pleasure here. It had probably been the best bread he'd ever ate. You know, when you're starving to death, anything you eat is the best you've ever had, right? And that would have given him a lot of good physical pleasure, no doubt about it. But it would have defiled him because here bread would come through evil means, outside the will of the Father. You know, Paul talked about in 2 Timothy regarding the peril of the last days. One thing that makes these last days so dangerous is that men will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Number 7, prioritizing self over others. If Jesus had only thought of himself in this situation, what I want, where I'm at, well, we'd have been bad messed up. I don't believe Jesus could have sinned. He's God. Right? But just imagine for a moment if he had defiled himself. Well, he's not the spotless, sinless Lamb of God anymore. He's not a worthy sacrifice for your sins. He had to be a spotless, sinless, amen, without blemish, without spot, and that is what he was. But imagine that he had thought of only of himself, and he defiled himself. Well, then you and I would be a mess. All those, from the beginning till now would have been in a mess. And if he had only thought of himself and had just not worried about you, aren't you glad he thought about you when all this was going on? Aren't you glad he thought about you when he was on the cross? I mean, there those Jews are. They're mocking him. Listen, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross and then we'll believe. Thank God he didn't come down. Amen. Thank God he prioritized the very ones that were mocking him in that moment over his own situation.
Amen. You better believe it.
Oh, he could have proved him wrong right there if he wanted to. But he loved them too much. They're the ones mocking him, and yet he loved them too much to come down. He loved you too much.
Amen.
Amen. And I tell you, a sin and temptation to sin is always self-centered, not others-centered. We can twist it and make it about somebody else, try to make it about somebody else all we want to. Right? I mean, that's what they do, you know, if it's, you know, some job or some career that takes them out of the work of God, things of God. Oh, well, I just want my family to have all the things I never had growing up. Like I'm doing this for somebody else. Listen, we can use these cop-outs all we want to, but if we'll just get honest about it, it's more important to us to have what we want than it is to do right. Let's just be honest about it. God already knows, by the way. You may as well just get honest, because God knows. Priority of pleasure over purity. The priority of self over others. Paul said in Philippians 2, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. And that's going to involve doing right sometimes. Number 8, there's the priority of the temporal over the eternal here. Satan said to take care of the temporal need and ignore the eternal consequences of what you do. Just turn them stones into bread. You need it right now. Don't worry about eternity. Worry about right now. You know, Jim Elliot, they found that famous missionary after he died on the mission field. They found in his memoirs, and he wrote that famous statement, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." Mark 8, verse 36 says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul, the temporal over the eternal?" James 4, verse 14, "What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." All these things that we devote our lives to building while we're here, they're just going to go up in smoke one of these days. And the temptation will always be, worry about the here, worry about the now, worry about this life. When this life matters so little in the eyes of eternity. He tempted him to prioritize sight over faith. Satan tempted Christ to live by sight because the bread you can see. It's right there. You can turn those stones to bread rather than living by faith, which is trusting God to supply the bread that you cannot see.
Amen.
You know, the devil, when you're in a situation, he'll almost always give you an opportunity to like work it out with some, or tempt you to work it out with something you can see, something tangible. Some tangible path to success.
Yeah.
But the caveat will always be, you can't do the right thing.
Right.
Now, there's this road to success. I mean, you can do this and work it all out. But the caveat is, you're going to have to cut some corner with God. He'll always give you that.
Right.
On the other hand, the Lord will always give you a way to escape too when there's a temptation. But that way to escape may not be something you can see. It may not be something tangible you can put your hands on. And a road to success you can see with your eyes and work out in your mind. It may be, do the right thing, do what I want you to do, and trust me.
Right.
Trust me with the bread that you cannot see. Sight over faith. By the way, what's it called when we do what's right, even though it looks like it's going to hold us back in life and keep us from getting ahead? What do we call that anyways? We call that faith. That's what faith is. Matthew 6, verse 33, Jesus said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In other words, do right and trust God. Last one, very quickly, I'm done. The temptation of prioritizing the false over the genuine. The false over the genuine. Satan tempted Jesus to have great achievement here. The news would have spread, you know, and people would have been so impressed, even more so than they were, you know. And that no doubt speaks of great achievement to the flesh, you know. People are going to really, you know, see this. The only problem is it would have been a false success rather than a real success.
Right.
Do you realize that genuine success and achievement comes from the will of God?
Yeah.
Doing the will of God, that's where real success is. Listen, it's not having all the things that the world has and people looking and being the talk of the town, you know, driving the nicest truck in town, nicest car in town, and having the nicest place in town. You know, it's not about living in the nicest neighborhood. It's not about having a great job and a big 401k and an easy life. And all this. Listen, success is not found in any of that. Thank God for them whenever He gives them to us. But those things in themselves are not success. They are the opposite of success.
Amen.
They're the opposite of success when they have your heart.
Right.
Matthew 25, verse 23 says this. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord."
Amen.
See, it's going to be God saying that if it is said. You understand that? It's not going to be our peers up there. You know, and the people that we're trying so hard to, our flesh is trying so hard to impress here in this life. It's not going to be them up there looking and saying, "Boy, you've done a great job. We've all been so impressed with the way you've lived your life and all the stuff you got and everything." Oh no, this world will not be the one up there saying that if it is said. If it is said to us at that time,
amen,
it's going to be the Lord saying it.
Amen.
And so, if anyone's going to have to be pleased, it's going to have to be Him. I wonder this morning, when thinking about these temptations and priorities, I wonder, it begs the question to all of us, how are my priorities? What really is my priority in life? The very first commandment in the law, the moral law given to Moses, is this. Thou shalt have no other gods before me.
Right.
And anything in our life that we prioritize over doing right, big or small, anything we prioritize over doing right,
yeah,
it is an idol.
That's right.
It is idolatry. It is putting a god, putting something else, before the Lord thy God. And John closed out 1 John by saying, "Little children, keep yourselves from idols." Keep yourselves from idols. How are your priorities? What is it in your life? What's the Holy Spirit got His finger on in this morning? And He's telling you right now, you're prioritizing this over doing right. You can do the right thing, but this, it's more important to you to do this or not do this than to do right. You got to get it right today. Jesus could come back today.
Amen.
And we'll stand before Him and give an account today.
Amen.
And He that talks about harborance in His heart, He said, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh shall find mercy. You can find mercy for God if you'll just confess it. Say, Lord, You're right. You're right. And I'm sorry. And I'm going to make Your will the priority in my life. And that thing. I'm going to make it more important than what my flesh wants. How's your priorities? Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word, for helping us with it. I pray that You'll take it and use it. Help us all, Lord, to be very honest with ourselves and honest with You this morning. I pray, Lord, that we would receive Your word, Lord, take it and apply it to our lives. And I pray that we'd all, Lord, be very serious in doing business with You this morning. Lord, I don't know what You may have said to anybody here, Lord, who You may be dealing with, but I do know this is what You had on my heart this morning. And so, Lord, we tried to mind You. And so, Lord, we'll just trust You with what You do and trust Your Spirit and working in our hearts this morning. So, Lord, I pray Your will be done. Help us to be what You want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.